Psalm 96. Portion of the scripture that I just read in Luke chapter 1. To the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then when the angel appeared to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people." Well, this baby that was born in a manger was spoken about many, many years before he was born. He was spoken about throughout all the Old Testament scripture. And he was spoken about in the psalm that you turned to, Psalm 96. His kingdom that has no end was declared in Psalm 96. And Psalm 96 is just one of the few psalms where Yahweh, and we've learned, haven't we, in studying of Exodus, that Yahweh is the pre-incarnate, or Yahweh is Jesus Christ of the Old Testament. Yahweh is the second person of the Trinity. Jesus, when he came on earth, he says, "I am." And then he lists all the I ams that he was. Jesus is the glory of God, the Father, in the Old Testament. And it's seen in the person of Jesus. And so in Psalm 96, we get a picture of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And so since this is Christmas time, we are going to deviate a little bit from our study in the book of Exodus, and we're going to study three different psalms that refer to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Songs of worship. Psalms of joy, because actually that's what the word psalm is. It's their songs. A song and a psalm of declaring the good news. Very possibly this Psalm 96, although it was written first during the reign of David, it was sung many, many times during the history of the people of Israel. And was probably sung during the very dark, trying times of their captivity in Babylon. As the nation sat in despair in a land that wasn't their own, languishing over the events that had led them to be far away from the God, or at least the land that God had given them, as they are overwhelmed by the events of the life they find themselves, this psalm oftentimes was sung as a means to bring back into focus the truth that although their life was confused, the land in which they lived was not being ruled righteously, their God still reigned. He still sat on the throne. Is that true of us today? Yes. As they saw the injustices in the land around them, they found hope in the fact that Jehovah, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, they didn't know him by that name yet, will rule forever righteously. And like I said, we're going to take 3 weeks during this Christmas time to look at various psalms that speak of the glory that is found in Jesus Christ and the good news that is for all peoples, no matter where they are, no matter what circumstances they are facing. So why don't we read Psalm 96. I'm going to read it to you. You can remain seated. But let me read Psalm 96. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nation, his marvelous works among the people. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory, do his name. bring an offering, and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Amen. This is God's word. This is a song of David. It was first sung when David had the Ark of the Covenant delivered in the city of Jerusalem to the tabernacle that David had constructed for the Ark. It was a time of joy and worship in the nation of Israel. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, let me read it to you, describes the events of this psalm. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and second to him were Zechariah, Jehiel, Shemamarath, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obadiah, and Jehiel, who were to play harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David first appointed that the thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. Look back with me at Psalm 96. In fact, Rach, Becky, if you could project Psalm 96 on the screen again. Because look at what they sang the day the Ark of the Covenant was delivered to Jerusalem. I'm going to read it to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And as I read it, try to follow along in the psalm that I just read. See if there's any similarity. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Is it similar? It's almost what? Identical. The day that the Ark of the Covenant, the day that the presence of the Lord once again filled the tabernacle, was in Jerusalem, the people sang for joy because God reigns. Let's pray one more time. Precious Heavenly Father, no matter where your people find themselves, the truth remains that you reign righteously over all the earth. And that truth, Lord, compels us as your children to worship you, to declare you who you are to the heathen, to the nations, to the lost. And it compels us, Lord, to wait expectantly for the day when you will reign righteously. Today, Lord, you reign. You reign over a world that is in rebellion against your authority and rejects your authority on a daily basis. But one day, as this psalm declares, all the earth will submit to your righteous reign. And a number that is even too great to number, the Bible tells us, will gather around your throne in joy because of the crucified Lamb. Those of us who have placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, will sing for joy forever. Lord, encourage our hearts this Christmas. Encourage our hearts this morning that the baby who came so long ago in a manger is indeed the ruler who sits on the throne. Lord, help us to find hope in the trying times in which we find ourselves, that the lowly infant is the infinite Savior. Lord, these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. David begins Psalm 96. It was recorded at a later date, too. Like I said, it was probably recorded at maybe at the time of the exile, as those people needed to find hope in the fact that God is in control. But he calls the nation to worship. He sort of acts like a choir master. He has directed them, and over again in the psalm, he directs them to do certain things. And we'll see that as we continue our study of the psalm. Verse number 1 and 2. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. So in response to the Ark of the Covenant being placed in Jerusalem and the presence and the glory of the Lord being back in Jerusalem, the people are responded, aren't they? Three times to respond in song, three times to sing. Sing, sing, sing. It's the Hebrew form of drawing emphasis, giving importance to the command that the choir director, David in this sense, or Asaph, is instructing the people to do. Remember Isaiah 6, when he describes God, he says, holy, holy, holy. And he's telling them to sing, sing, sing. You wouldn't think the people would need to sing, right? The Ark of the Covenant is back in Jerusalem. It's back where it should be. The presence of the Lord is now dwelling in the city. But let me just describe to you a scene as the Ark comes back. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. So all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord was shouting to the sound of the horn, trumpets and cymbals, and made loud music on harps and lyres. Do you think they're excited? Do you think there's joy in the land? Yeah. And as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, the wife of David, looked out the window and saw King David dancing and celebrating. You know what her reaction was? She despised him in her heart. The city was joyful, but Michael's heart was filled with disdain. That's true today, isn't it? There are still people whose hearts are filled with hatred and disdain for God the Father and His servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. But back then, the visible physical expression of the Ark being in Jerusalem and the joy expressed in the worship of God's people all point to a greater reality, that one day, not only God's presence will fill Jerusalem, but God's presence will fill the entire earth. The glory of the Lord will fill the entire earth as it fills heaven today. And God reigns. And we are compelled to sing as well. And as we understand that God reigns, the psalmist will tell us that not only will the Jew, God's people, reign, that even the nations, the Gentiles, will sing praise to him. And the heavens will. You notice that? The earth will. The seas and all that is in it will bless and praise the Lord and sing to the Lord. The fields and not only the fields, the trees within the forest. We'll sing praise to God. David commands them, the choir master commands them to sing a new song. That doesn't mean a freshly composed song. Many of them did not know how to write songs, but a song that is fresh in their hearts. The people will sing not a song of lament for the situation in which they find themselves. They will not be singing a song full of stale truths that mean nothing to them. But they will sing a song of joy. Their hearts will be refreshed because the Lord has saved them. You see that in the text. Sing of His salvation. You know, one day, not only are the people of Israel sang in Jerusalem that day, but one day the text, the scripture tells us that all of us will sing a new song too. You know when that day will be? In heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." The song that we will sing will always be new on our lips because the song object is the Lord's salvation. Not just salvation from the trials and events of life. Not just saved salvation from the lion's den, as in the case of Daniel. Or from the fiery furnace, as in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or from the belly of the whale, as in the case of Jonah. Or from Goliath, as is in the case of Jonah, or the nation of Israel from the Egyptians, as the Lord saved them by drowning the Egyptians. But this salvation song that we will sing forever in heaven is the song of redemption. It is the song that we will sing because God has, through His Son's death, burial, and resurrection, delivered us from sin. That's the salvation. That's the new song. God has delivered us not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. And one day, dear church, He will deliver us from the presence of sin. And we will declare it forever and ever, and it will always be fresh on our lips. David now instructs the choir of the world, with another series of three words. Not sing this time, but bless, tell, and declare. You see that in verse 12 in the chapter 2, verse 2, and then 3. Bless His name, tell of His salvation, and declare His glory. Some of your versions say, show, praise, proclaim. But in response to the people singing for joy and their praise of God, those who obediently respond to the command of the choir master to praise God for their salvation will also follow His instruction and obediently declare His salvation to the world. Bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above God, all gods, for all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Those whose hearts are filled with praise to God for their salvation declare that same salvation to the nations, to the heathen. That's the natural response of those who are filled with praise for God's salvation. They'll declare it to others. We could also say it in the opposite. If you aren't declaring the salvation of the Lord in your life to others, it would make sense that your heart is not full of praise to God for your own salvation. If you do not have a heart of praise for God for what He's done for you, you do not have His heart for love for the world. We are, as Christians, we are, as God's people, instructed, commanded, exhorted to declare His glory, declare His name among the nations. Wasn't that what Israel was supposed to do as well? We've been studying the Exodus. God saved them so that they would declare, so that His name would be known throughout the whole world. God is incomparable. His salvation is beyond measure, the psalmist says. He is great. You see that? He is to be feared. He is the Creator. His name is synonymous with His strength, His beauty, His majesty. Unlike the gods of this world. The gods of this world, the idols of their world, are big, fat nothings. They're zeros. The gods of this world, especially at the time of this writing, were very, very territorial. They were local. They needed to be fashioned with human hands. But not our God. He is God over the whole world. He will reign righteously over the whole world. He has not been fashioned by anyone. He, in fact, does the fashioning, doesn't He? God is the Creator. That's what the psalmist says. He is the Creator over all the world. Whereas the presence of God in the Old Testament was associated with the Ark of God. And in the time of David, it was placed in the tabernacle, a very beautiful tent, as tents go. But it was temporary. One day they would, not David, but his son Solomon, construct a temple. And that temple was beautiful beyond compare. But that's not what David rejoices in. He rejoices in a permanent structure, a permanent place where the splendor of the Lord resides forever, an eternal sanctuary that is filled with splendor, majesty, strength, and beauty. Where would that place be, folks?
Heaven.
Read Revelation. You want to get a vision of what splendor and beauty looks like. We are commanded, God's people are commanded to declare that the glory of the Lord goes throughout the whole world. And now the choir director, in verse 7, he instructs the choir with another set of three, once again for emphasis. Sing, declare, tell. And now, in verse 7, he says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory to His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Three times, ascribe. I think some of your versions might have the word give. It means to place something in its rightful position, its rightful place. And so now he directs his instructions not to the people of God, but to those who have been reached by the people of God. The psalmist summons the nations, the heathens, who have heard the message of joy and have responded to that message of joy, responded to that greatness of God in faith. And he tells those nations, those who have responded in faith, to sing praise to Him, to give glory to His name, to recognize His glory and strength. Practically speaking, what does that look like to the nations as they come before this awesome and majestic God? It involves them drawing near to Him and giving Him an offering, humbly coming before them and recognizing Him as King. That is so beautiful, especially at this time of the year. As we approach Christmas, just think of the Christmas story. All the people who approached Jesus at His birth. Common, everyday folks, right? Shepherds. Wise men, maybe a little special. Anna, an old lady. Simeon, an old man. Mary, a simple teenager. Joseph, a carpenter. They all drew near to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Another set of three that the choir director instructs the worshipers to do. Worship in verse 9. Tremble in verse 9. And say in verse 10. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. The continuing response of those who have heard of the Lord's salvation from the hearts of those who are singing with praise is to worship God. Not only the Jews, but now the heathens who have by faith trusted in the awesome God revealed to them in Scripture respond to all that God is with all of who they are. God is holy, and the people tremble because the Lord reigns. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Whereas the world today has consistently, habitually responded to the holy God in defiance and rebellion, the proper response to those who have humbled themselves before God in faith is praise, worship, and adoration. Our message to the world is that God reigns. God is still in control. The world is in a mess. The world is in rebellion against God. But the psalmist proclaims and affirms and ascribes the fact that God's world is firmly established. Things are not out of control. His will and his purposes will never be moved. We as Christians, we as God's people, are never shaken. For God, in the person of Jesus Christ, will rule, he'll govern, and he'll judge with equity, with righteousness. And then we come to the last set of threes. No, actually it's four this time. And it's not a command. The choir director isn't directing his people. He's just affirming a reality, a truth. Verse 11, four times. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. He has come, hasn't he? He has come as a baby boy in a manger, living a perfect life, dying a sacrificial death. But he is coming again, isn't he? And he will rule and reign triumphantly in righteousness and rule with equity. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. The psalmist describes or he personifies creation. And creation is looking forward to God's rule, God's kingdom, God's governance. Because they know it will be right and fair. Today, you know what creation is doing? It's groaning. It's yearning. It's looking for the day when once again God's kingdom will be established without any rebellion here on earth. They are looking for the day when they will be released once again from the curse of sin. Yahweh's reign is going to be fully established over everything in the fields and the skies and the trees and the fish and the birds and every other animal that you can think of, every other piece of fauna, is going to raise their voice in triumph because the Lord reigns. And he will reign in justice and righteously. And when we as Americans think of judge, we usually think, you know, we have the judiciary, right? We have the Senate and the Congress. And we have the president, so we have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches, right? And when we think of judge, what do we always think of the judicial? But in the Old Testament, when he's talking about judging, he's talking about governing. He's talking about all of them. God is going to be the chief executive, the chief legislative office, and the judge of the whole world. And he's going to do it, what? Righteously. We have something to look forward to. So how do we apply a message like this? Well, as Christians, we keep on declaring, don't we? We keep on declaring the glory of the Lord. Because there's a world out there that needs to become worshipers of the same God that we love and serve. And how will they hear if no one goes and tells them? God didn't send angels to do that. He sent us. And so we keep on declaring. And what a wonderful time of the year to declare that God reigns righteously. When everybody else is doom and gloom, and when we sort of get caught in the... Oh. You know what the next great event is for us as a church? God redeemed, rescued us from this world. We have so much to be thankful for. So much to feast our minds on that is true and noble and lovely. Keep on declaring. Keep on ascribing. Keep on praising God. We come here on a Sunday morning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And keep on doing it. Keep on being faithful. At home, read His Word. Find out His wonderful attributes. Spend time praising God. Ascribing the glory due His name. We spend a lot of time doing a lot of things, don't we? How much time do we spend declaring the glory of the Lord? We'll watch TV, games, football for hours and hours and hours. And after the game, we'll talk about it with some of our friends. We don't blink an eye. But that God is so much better than the Indianapolis Colts. And what else should we do? I think we should probably keep on singing too, right? You know, some states don't, some governors have allowed or not allowed the church to what? Sing. Yeah. Are we going to sing? Yeah, we sort of changed up the order. But we're going to sing. And when are we going to do it? We're going to do it now. In fact, Anna, would you go get Steve and Gene and tell them that we're going to sing now? And I'm going to ask Audrey to come up here. But before they do, Anna, you can keep on going. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing praises to the Lord and bless His name. And tell of His salvation. Precious Heavenly Father, what a wonderful and awesome, majestic, and plunderous God you are. You reign. The Lord reigns. Lord, encourage our hearts this morning with these truths. Lord, help us to be faithful. And declaring the gospel message, the good news, that Jesus Christ did come to earth as a baby, but He came to die, not for His sins, but for ours. Use our lives in the words of the gospel, Lord, to bring other worshipers who will gather all together one day in heaven around the throne and declare your glories. This I pray in Christ's name.